Hey there, this is Zach from Cornerstone Assembly in Truro, Nova Scotia. Thanks for checking out this message. If you're looking for more information about our church, check us out online at truochurch.ca. Now to the message.
I know that's usually been the case for my family. Each year, my parents, they host this big Christmas party at their house. They invite their whole church and their friends, and there's always lots of food and lots of laughs and just lots of noise that's going on. And it was one of my favorite kind of Christmas traditions as we, you know, crammed their living room like a sardine can with as many people as possible. And really just having everybody come together and just sharing some time. But is that the kind of Christmas joy that we're celebrating this week? Is it the jubilant, loud, celebratory joy that we usually think of when we hear the word? The kind of joy that fills the songs that are played over the speakers as you are, you know, finding that perfect gift for your loved one? Surely, you know, this type of joy, this loud, jubilant joy, is welcome to those who are having a good time, who are having an okay year, that are, you know, cruising along. And this feeling of joy is, it's something that we've all experienced. We've all had moments that have made us want to jump for joy, I'm sure, at some point, at least in our lives. But this isn't the lasting joy that we're actually celebrating. It's part of what comes with Christmas, but it's not what carries us through. This loud joy can actually be painful for those that are struggling this Christmas season. Those that are mourning, or those that are sick, those that are lonely, those that are trying to make ends meet. Where is the joy that can carry us through? How do we get lasting joy? So we're going to look at the story of some shepherds to find out. We're going to look at some shepherds. And if we understand how the shepherds found joy, then we will understand what it means to have true joy in our life, the lasting kind of joy. So if you want to open your Bibles, we're going to be spending some time in Luke chapter 2. Starting at verse 8. So I'll let you guys get there. And this is probably a really familiar passage. You've probably heard it again and again at Christmas time each year. But in case you haven't, let me give you a little down low of what's happening. So Luke, who obviously Luke is named after, he actually wrote both Luke and Acts as kind of a two-part series. So the first part, Luke, outlines the birth, life, and ministry of Jesus. And then the second part, Acts, or sometimes called Acts of the Apostles, because it outlines the continuation of his ministry by the apostles. So previous to our passage is the announcement of the coming birth of both John the Baptist and Jesus and their births. So here we are just after his birth, And kind of keeping in mind, too, that the circumstances of Jesus' birth, how it would happen, had been foretold hundreds of years previous, at least 600 years before, by a prophet named Isaiah. So here we are at verse 8 of chapter 2 of Luke. In the New Living Translation, it says this: "That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep." So let's pause to look at these shepherds. So the shepherds were tradesmen, but not respected tradesmen like maybe tradesmen are today. My dad is a tradesman. He's a heavy-duty mechanic, and though his trade doesn't involve animals, doesn't involve sheep, most days he does also come home very dirty, hand-stained black with grease, smelling of diesel or whatever else he's been accidentally dipping into, and also most days chunks out of his hands or his head. He's clumsy like me. Those engines are gigantic. So the shepherds, they worked this kind of job that's tiring and with long hours of caring for somebody else's sheep. And they were always far from the comforts of home, spending times out in fields and caves with the flocks. They were usually seen as nothing more than vagabonds or thieves. Not really a highly respected profession. So shepherds would not be at the top of the list of people to invite to meet your new baby, let alone a king. These don't sound like circumstances that would warrant joy. You know, you're not going to have a party because nobody's inviting you somewhere because you stink like sheep poo. Just saying. But have you ever felt unappreciated or unwelcome, far from joy, because your circumstances, your sin, your family, job, health, whatever it is? When I was young, my family had been living on a small military base in Manitoba. And it was a small community, and even though people kind of came and went, as per military lifestyle, our similar life situation made it easy to form quick connections. Because military families, they kind of have, well, they have friends all over the country, but they kind of have this same struggle and of making connections in new places. So there's this culture of welcome and connection. Because, you know, in a community especially that's ever-changing, we still all share this need for connection, for community. So I was surrounded by friends and other families that understood exactly what our life was like. But that changed for me, for my family, the summer just before I went into grade 5. My family moved from, like I said, small military base in Manitoba, to Edmonton. Not living on the base, actually in the city. I started a new school with new people who had largely all grown up together. I think maybe there was like one other family in our entire school that was military, and they were in another grade, so I never even met them, actually. So they knew each other, and none of them could really relate or understand the need to, I don't know, bridge a gap, you know? And it was a really lonely time for me. It was hard to connect with people because I was used to people being the connectors, because we knew when you come in you need that connection. And even though my family had Anyways, it was really hard to connect with people, and I was feeling really far from joy for a long time. And even though my family had gone to church on and off, and I knew about God, I didn't actually know him personally yet. So I was far from joy, and I was far from God, even though I didn't actually know it yet. But I remember, even at the times of being far from God, like I said, somehow I remembered bits and pieces of maybe something that I heard in a Sunday school class when we'd occasionally attend, or something that my Nana had said on the phone or in a letter, because she was a Christian and she was praying for us. And I especially remember the song, Jesus Loves Me, coming to my mind. Looking back, I can see even when I was far from joy and far from God in a dark time, it's like God was speaking to me and guarding me from falling into a very dark hole. Can't read with tears in my eyes. It's crazy to think that God talks to us even when we're not listening, even when we don't even know how to listen. And As God brought this story to my mind, I couldn't help but be thankful. I'm going to plug it because I got to plug it. For the opportunity that we're going to have in January to do the Hearing God seminar. Because we've been talking about it a lot lately, in case you haven't noticed. And we're going to keep talking about it because, and this is really what hit me, the problem isn't trying to get God to speak to us. The problem is learning to listen. Because even, you know, I'm getting a little bit off track, but, you know, even in that time when I didn't know to listen for God, I didn't know God spoke, I didn't really know him personally yet, God was speaking to me. So anyways, hearing God, come, please. Yeah, because he's speaking, especially when we're feeling far from joy. And we all have seasons where we are feeling far from joy. And as Christians, we know that God wants us to have joy, to have his joy, to have fullness of joy. So the shepherds, they were far from joy. But look what happens next. In the middle of their darkness, watch what God does. We're going to keep reading back into Luke 2, verses 9 to 12 now. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel assured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloths, lying in a manger." So the angel, a messenger of God, came to the shepherds. That alone is astounding. By nature of their job, you know, dealing with dirt and sheep, they would have been considered ceremonially unclean. These men would not have been able to come close to God. The shepherds were far from joy, and they were far from God. But here they are, receiving a message from God, a message of great joy. For these shepherds, given their low social status, it probably would have been amazing even just to hear that the Messiah was born. But more than an announcement, this is an invitation to come close to the newborn Savior. And this is, like I said, this is wholly unusual. There is this image of shepherds in their culture being unworthy, unclean, untrustworthy, kept at a distance. And here, the narrative flipped right on its head. Doesn't God do that a lot, though? They're welcome. They're invited. They're called to come close. Emmanuel had arrived. God had come close at last. But notice this. The shepherds don't actually have a change in circumstance. Nothing about their lives has actually changed yet. They're still separated from their society. They're still away in a field, still alone in the dark. But by this invitation and their subsequent visit to Jesus, they're given a new joy. And your circumstances, they might not change. But you can still experience a true and lasting joy no matter where you are in life. Because joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is based on Jesus. And even though they may have thought lowly of themselves, look at the way that God sees them. Despite the low view of shepherds in the culture, the Bible actually uses the picture of a shepherd to be something so different from what society pictured for shepherds. In both the Old and the New Testament, shepherds are pictured as caring, gentle, and loving protectors. There's this beautiful lesson in this different perspective. It's God saying, hey, no matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, what you're going through, what people think of you, you can come. Come experience joy. Come be with Jesus. And for us today, the same is true. No matter who you are, what you've done, what you're going through, you can come close to Jesus and experience his joy. Now, I wonder how the shepherds must have felt, knowing they were in a constant state of uncleanness. Perhaps they carried with them this constant knowledge that they would never be good enough in their state to experience God's presence. But then to be invited in, still unclean, specks of blood on their tunic from their injured lamb, dirt caked on their feet and ankles, the evidence of where they've walked. In the Old Testament, there were many things that needed to be done to be clean before being able to come to God. But Emmanuel, God with us, has made a way to come dirty from where we've walked and be cleaned by Jesus. Jesus cleans us of our dirt, our sins, our wrong thoughts, actions, intentions, and replaces it with his cleanness, his holiness. So no matter what you might have walked through, or maybe what you're walking through, no matter what might stain your clothes, Jesus makes a way so that we can have true joy. So what is this joy that the shepherds were invited to, that we are invited to? Earlier, I talked about the loud sort of joy. And to be honest, when I started prepping my sermon, that's the kind of joy that I thought I'd be talking about, because I love Christmas. I love when we have Christmas parties. I love the Christmas carols playing. I love wrapping gifts. I love, if you saw my Facebook yesterday, baking. But I went a little different direction because, like I said earlier, that kind of joy can be painful. The kind of joy that comes from great circumstances, the kind of joy that fills my parents' house every year during their Christmas party. But the great announcement that the angel had made is more than this. And yeah, we can experience great joy and wonderful circumstances, but lasting joy is not a never-ending party. Lasting joy is not smiles and laughter never ending, at least not here on earth, this side of eternity. So verse 12 is a picture of the place of constant joy. It's in the presence of Jesus. You will find a baby lying in a manger. A couple weeks ago, I actually got to go visit a brand new baby one Sunday afternoon. Right in the hospital. He wasn't even a day old yet. And except for, you know, the occasional fussing, he quietly slept, just peaceful in my arms, quiet, gentle, still, close. And there was great joy in that moment, but it's not loud or exuberant. It's just simple, quiet, still. Joy came to the shepherds, to the world, as a baby. And though they were in a barn, I imagine that the stillness that seemed to hang in the air of that hospital room was the same one that they felt that night. Yes, there was a heavenly celebration. The angels filled the sky with praise. But also in that barn, there was joy and closeness with Jesus. There was no grandeur, but simplicity. God had come close to the shepherds, bringing joy as Emmanuel, God with us. And I think we often forget that gentle nature of God, the nurturing side of God. Later on in Luke chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem, and he says, "How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings." When we're experiencing good times, it's easy to be joyful, the loud kind of joyful. But when we're in the midst of a dark storm, it's not helpful to hear, "Oh, well, you need to do this and this and this, because you need to be joyful. You need to be happy right now." When we hear the invitation to the shepherds to see Jesus, and we imagine this mother hen bringing her chicks close, we're reminded of the gentle presence of our Heavenly Father. When we see that we don't have to strive to find joy, because not only does Emmanuel come close to us, but he also draws us close to him. Jesus came to earth for the lowly shepherds and went further by inviting him into his presence, drawing them close to find lasting joy. When your young child is hurt or scared, what is it that you do as a parent? Do you scold them and tell them to get over it? Thanks, not a dad. Maybe if you're in a really, really terrible mood. But if you're in a good place and you're trying to be a good parent, you're probably not going there. But rather, this is what I've seen parents do. They pull them close, comforting them. And actually, when we comfort our children, we actually are teaching their bodies to manage their stress, to calm themselves. And God wants to do that with us as well. He doesn't just tell us to get over it. Just come close. I'll teach you. He brings us close, sharing his peace and sharing his joy. It's being in the presence of Jesus that brings us lasting joy. And in Ephesians 5:22, it lists the gifts of the Spirit, and joy is listed among them. Because joy, along with the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, it's not possible on our own. It's not something that we can attain in our own strength. But rather, joy and the other fruit is a promised outcome of abiding with Jesus, of spending time with him. Even in the storms of life, true joy is found with Jesus, in closeness, in stillness, in quietness, in peace. It's not just in the big moments of celebration that we can have this joy, but also in the simple ones of just getting alone with God. The shepherds, they left their tiring duties for a time to come close to God. They were not drawn by a promise of a grand party or a banquet table of a king. They were drawn just into the simple solitude of a baby in a barn. It seems so foreign to the busyness that comes with the Christmas season, but joy can only be found when we stop and take some time with Jesus. There's a joy to be found in simplicity and solitude. Jesus calls us close. He brings us in, comforts us, reassures us. He brings us strength and joy through all the storms of life. And in that quiet place, that's when we hear from him. It's where we hear what our next step should be, where he's calling us next. So as the musicians come back up, I just want you to consider this question. How can you simplify your life this Christmas season? Maybe you don't need to spend hours and hours and hours finding the perfect gift for your child. Maybe you don't need to bake 12 kinds of cookies. Maybe dinner can be a little simpler this year. Maybe Jesus is calling you to simply take some time and be still. Like Lynn did this morning with her Bible. She just said, "Hey God, what do you want to say to me?" Will you turn the idea that Christmas has to be busy on its head? Will you instead find joy in the simplicity of Jesus' presence? Because Jesus wants to draw you close to himself. And joy is in those moments of simplicity, the stillness, the gentleness of God's embrace. Will you let him draw you close this morning? To find joy in stillness and solitude this week. I knew while the worship team was playing earlier, all morning really, I've just been feeling this heaviness, and I know it wasn't a heaviness of my own. It was kind of a heaviness that I know some people were walking in with. And I just thought about the verse where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Christmas can drive us off our feet. It can drive us into the ground if we let it, if we don't stop for a moment and take some time. And it might seem like in your busy day, when you've got, 10 hours of work today, your kids have a school project they need your help on, there's so much to do every day, how can I stop and take some time? Let me tell you, the days when I have the most on my schedule, the days that I'm like, how am I going to slow down today? There's two ways it could go. I could get right into it, I could motor on, I will be exhausted at the end of the day. Or I can stop, I can take time to spend with Jesus, and somehow everything gets done way quicker than I thought it would. And at the end of the day, I look back and be like, how'd that happen? Because it started in God's presence.